Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Friday and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Michelle Pache, and I'm here with Dr. Tim Hayes and Dale Hoffman for Aramaic Fridays. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is August 1st, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with our team. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to strengthen and deepen your practice. Now, let's welcome Tim and Dale in the process of learning and experiencing forgiveness.
Thank you, Michelle. And is Dale with us already?
You know, I don't see his number on the board. I'm looking for 828 area code, I believe. And I see Susan Darnell. And I think Janet.
All right. Well, let me just do a brief intro then, and if he comes in, interrupt me.
Absolutely.
We're here to talk about the ancient Aramaic art, science, technology of forgiveness, and it's a process that I can use. It's a tool that's available to me. And the machine that drives it, the elemental force that drives it, is a part of my very nature and makeup. And it's available to be accessed for the asking. We all have it. It's the energy that keeps my heart beating and my breath going even when I'm asleep. It's the energy that grows my fingernails and is available to break off the effects of my errors in thought and guide me to truth and happiness if I simply ask it to. Most of us have been raised in a culture where we're trained to blame people, places, and things outside of us for what we're experiencing internally. Most of us are trained to believe that we are not creators, that we are victims, and that there is a creative force that lives outside of us. It's a god or gods, and that we have to supplicate ourselves to that outside force. We have to beg forgiveness when we make an error, and we have to try to sacrifice things to that god to get that god to work in our favor and to work for us and against others. And that's the history of humans on the planet. And it leads to all of the conflict, it leads to the competition, it leads to the wars that we experience. And there's a kind of a good news, bad news set up, and the bad news is we get to feel internally all of the conflicts that we see outside of us. So we actually war amongst ourselves within my own mind. I battle myself, the good part of me versus the bad part of me, and the errors I've made versus the successes I've had. And I have conflicts going on, raging in my mind all the time. And the good news is, what's going on inside of me is actually mirroring or being mirrored on the outside of me, so that I have good feedback, a very reliable system of feedback to tell me when the thoughts I'm allowing to run in my mind are off the mark, they're off the target. They're something less than love. They've made an artificial discrimination between good and bad. They've taken the two points of the battery and labeled one plus and one minus as though they're separate things. So the good news is there is an infallible, constantly on alarm system to let me know when I'm choosing an energy that's off the mark. And the tool of forgiveness is there to allow me to remove energies that are off the mark from inside my system, where they are slowly and sometimes not so slowly disrupting my energy system and causing discomfort and pain and even disease and death eventually. The tool is called forgiveness, and we're blessed at this time on the planet to have access to a one-page worksheet that can actually step me through a process to help me identify and remove the energies that don't belong in my mind-body energy system. And in its current form, it's called the Reality and Stress Management Worksheet, and it's available on the website at www.whyagain.org. And if you click on the red and white bullseye in the center of the page, or you click on the link at the top that says, top left that says Start Here, it'll take you to a page where you can get absolutely for free, you don't even have to add your name to a mailing list, you can download a PDF file of the most recent version of the seven-step worksheet process, and you can download, I think Michael said now there are 12 different audio files of shows like this where people have been calling in with their problems and worked through the worksheet process with the support of someone like Dr. Rice or Jeannie, or I think I have one that was up there that happened during a radio show I was hosting. Everything you need to know to get started, and a lot of what you need to know to start truly becoming a student of this work, available for free. Audio files, Chapter 24 of Dr. Rice's book, The Worksheet Process itself. And our invitation is for you to doubt everything we say, be a true skeptic, and pick up the tool and try it for yourself and watch the results. Don't believe anything we say. Don't follow this work. Don't follow Dr. Rice. Don't follow Dr. Tim. Don't follow Jeannie. Don't follow Rex or Michelle. Be your own person. Learn more about what motivates you, what makes you tick, what gets you stuck, what makes you happy or sad or frustrated. And then apply this tool to anything that leaves you feeling less than love and watch the results. That's what we're here to support people doing, and today is a special day. We've been graced with Dale Allen Hoffman, who's decided to make not just an appearance once a year or four or five times a year, but almost every Friday this year in 2014, Dale has agreed to help us turn it into an Aramaic Friday, where we look at the tools that were presented and the language that was presented a couple thousand years ago, and just keep refining our understanding. To just keep digging a little bit deeper in what was said in the original teachings and trying to tease out just another deeper level of understanding so I can apply it to my life to get a little bit better results. And I'm very grateful to Dale for agreeing to do that, and I invite people to go back in the archives and listen to the Aramaic Fridays almost every Friday this year. And there was one in, I believe, in 2011 and 2012 and 2013. There was a week in each of those years where Dale was with us on those Fridays, and just a wealth of information available. And you can also check out Dale's website, www.daleallenhoffman.com. And another wonderful way to spend some time is go to Dale's YouTube channel, or go to YouTube and type in Dale Allen Hoffman, and he has quite generously given of his time and videoed some of his talks and uploaded them, and they're available to watch on demand. So you can deepen your process by understanding the language and the meaning of words which have come down through the centuries, translated into different languages and through different cultures, and come to mean something entirely different than the original teachings. Most of the power of the original teachings has been lost through translation and through movement from one culture to another. And with the help of people like Dale Allen Hoffman, we have access to something approximating a much deeper understanding of the power of the original tools. So let's check in with Michelle, see if there's anybody with their hand up or if Dale has arrived.
Hello, Tim. I don't see his area code here, and most of the phone numbers I recognize, so I'm not really sure what's going on.
All right. Well, we'll stay open to the fact that he's right where he needs to be and that all things are well in his life and the people he's positively affecting, and we'll continue to ask for people who have questions or comments or anything going on in the chat room.
Just keep an eye in the chat room. I'm looking. I've got a list of phone numbers to see if maybe he's calling in something I don't recognize, but don't think so.
Okay. Well, if he calls in, regardless of his number, he knows to press 1 to put his hand up. So.
Oh, okay. Then.
Do we have anybody with their hand up?
No, exactly. There you go. That's the good check and balance. Dale, put your hand up, and I don't see it.
All right, so the floor is open. We're early in the process. We've got 45 minutes or more left on the show. What's your question? What's your problem with the worksheet process? What's a question that if you had Dr. Rice all to yourself, or Jeannie does a lot of individual consulting. Michelle does this kind of work in her practice. Rex has done work in the prisons and with Michelle in the prisons and in his own practice. What's your question about forgiveness? What's your question about the role of emotions in your life? What's your question about anger, fear, sadness? We had a conversation going the other day where someone was feeling, once again, threatened by what they were hearing in the work. They heard that they were being told that their emotions are bad or wrong. Do you have any questions about that?
Yeah.
Have you reached any new understandings? Go ahead.
I was at Heartland last week for 12 days of a codependent workshop, and I think I did a 16-day intensive in those 9 days. It was pretty powerful. I brought my 16-year-old daughter, who participated fully, which exceeded expectations when she told me she was really glad that she came. I mostly wanted to introduce her to her and cancel the goal for her to get it, and it was pretty powerful for her, too. And so there was a lot of role-playing going on there to demonstrate and practice the responsibility communication tool when different things would come up. And at one point somebody in the group was giving me some feedback in terms of what they observed my interactions with my daughter. And as reality goes, I wasn't really seeing it the way he appeared to be seeing it. And so Dr. Rice invited us to role play the responsibility communication piece out in front of the group and move through the issue. And I was willing to do that. And the first step in the responsibility communication worksheet is acknowledging that you want to have this dialogue, and that if there's any fear or anger present, that the very first step before you even begin talking is to clear that out. And in doing a scan before we were about to commence the conversation, I recognized that I was present to a lot of fear about the guy, the partner who was giving me feedback, and what he had said triggered and resonated a lot of shame for me, guilt over not being a perfect parent. And that really was in the way for me at that moment. And so the conversation really couldn't begin until I cleared that. So Dr. Rice encouraged me or suggested that I reach out and touch him to begin this talk so I could reconnect in a space of love and process the stuff. And there appeared to be so much fear present that it felt like I was stuck in that actual moment. I had willingness to move through it, but it felt like the fear was blocking me from taking the next right step. And my mental process was to ask Rupert Akucha to engage Rachma and Kula so that I could take that next right step. But it seemed to be taking a long time, 30 seconds, a minute. And I was just having this experience of being immobilized. And Dr. Rice's feedback to me was, Michelle, right now you're being resistant, just as resistant as he was, half hour before and previous to this portion of the class. The same guy had been fussing and arguing and debating Michael on some concepts and was just unwilling to hear something he was giving him feedback about his regulatory speech. And it appeared to all of us, that he was demonstrating some resistance. So my question with that set up is, in that moment, I thought willing, and yet I was stopped. And I guess the question is related to, when did willingness switch over to resistance? And is it trying to do something, and it's like if you're not doing it, then you're resistant to it? And been sort of playing with those ideas in my mind, because it,
let me interrupt you here.
Okay.
So in this, that's a very useful setup, and I feel like I have a picture of what was going on. And right now, you seem to be getting into one of the more popular modes for us as human beings. We're trying to figure it out.
Oh, I'm professionally.
Figure it out. And as you were doing that, I thought about one of the I think it's Inanna from the CD series, not series, but the CD set from Dale Allen Hoffman. And in it he talks about a time when he was called up in front of a church group to do the Beatitudes in Aramaic. And he's done it dozens and dozens and dozens of times before, but for whatever reason, this time when he went to get up, his mind was blank. And he was feeling this fear of failing and shutting down and making a mess of things. And as he walked to the front, he was forcing himself to walk to the front, and he couldn't quite think of what he was going to say. And he heard, he said in his audio, he says, in the best Charlton Heston voice, "It's okay to fall, because you can only fall back into me." And he stood up, and he started doing the Beatitudes, and his worst, quote, fear, unquote, came to be. He read, or he didn't read, but he stated the first through fifth Beatitudes, and he got to the sixth one and just went blank. And he had that time more than the 10 seconds you're talking about, which seems like an eternity. And in that time, if I let my mind go to what do I do, what do I do, what do I do, it gets worse. So I would encourage you to give up the idea of trying to figure out how do I know how to move from willingness into resistance through resistance into action. And don't get caught up with the words, oh, I said the word try, so that must mean this, and then step back, and what did I hear in this seminar about people who try never achieve, and it's only do and not do, or was that Yoda, or, yeah. So just breathe and tune into what you're feeling physically and emotionally in the moment. That would be my feedback for you. Don't try to find words that will help you describe what is way beyond words.
Well, is fear resistant? You can have fear and be willing, but in this case, I had fear and I was labeled resistant.
So what ended up happening?
I think a similar version of what you said. I kind of went inside and found a place where I could generate love and kind of reconnected with it, and then I reached out and put my hand on his knees and looked into his eyes and said something that demonstrated I was willing to let go of the fear. I guess it's just that it took a long time, or, you know, while that was happening, maybe you're right, maybe it was too much in my head. Certainly the stress was up because you've got, you know, 15 other people with bated breath.
So the reason for talking about it now is what? To avoid ever having a time gap like that in the future where your resistance is up?
Well, see, that's the whole thing. I guess, you know, I'm a resistant, willing person because, you know, is it willing or resistance while you're practicing and removing your block? That it just, you know, fine, I'm in my head trying to understand it, but, like, where's that line? You know, even while I'm failing, I'm still willing.
Okay, so try to answer my question, if you would. Take a breath.
Okay. There's no hands up, so.
Okay. So even if a hand comes up right now, I would encourage you to stay with me and talk about this and not jump into putting somebody else on if their hand comes up, and realize this is a very valuable piece of work, and it doesn't matter who's bringing it up. It's a valuable piece of work. So you're asking a question, and remember what we say about this on the show, everybody's question is valuable. And if one person has the question, it's relevant to anybody else who's listening if they'll open to it. So I simply ask the question, why are you bringing this up now? Is the purpose of bringing this up to find an answer so you never have a stuck point like that again in the future, where there's a pause where you're willing but part of you is resisting and it feels awkward? Or is there some other reason for trying to find words to put on this? Help me understand what our goal is, and I'll see if if I can help you to that goal.
I think maybe seeing labels as resistant when I see myself as willing. And while that process was going on, I was attempting to practice the tool to remove the fear.
Okay, and so what you just said was there's a problem, there's a tension, there's a resentment or a frustration in you for being labeled resistant.
Well, it's like this. Is that Michael's content in terms of what he sees, and then it's not my truth? Or is that legitimate feedback that I'm resistant and that I'm just in denial about it? And so, yes, that's me trying to figure that out.
Why can't both be true? I would offer for your consideration that both can and are often true, and that the only area I need concern myself with is my half of the equation, since it's the only half of the equation I can have an impact on. One way to think about it, one way to approach life, and boy, does my ego kick up when I tell it this, is that all feedback is valid.
Yeah, I guess I'd kick up with that too.
All right, so you know, if I say all feedback is valid, then my ego kicks up. Now I know I've got work to do about my ego wanting to be more important than the flow of life through me, than the expression of the creative energy through me to try and extend the good, the holy, and the beautiful. You know, I did a presentation with Rex last Saturday, and we were leaving, driving him to the train afterwards, and he said, you know, he wants to give me feedback about how something I said probably meant that I had all of these issues. I know you understand how that works with Rex. Rex is right, I'm wrong, and my ego wants to come up and say, wow, I know Rex. That's clearly Rex's issue.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Well, when I feel my ego do that, I say, okay, all feedback is valid. What's my half of the equation? Oh, there's part of me that wants to reach over and grab Rex and show him how wrong he is and give him a history of events that I've been with through him that demonstrate this is really his issue. And every bit of energy and urgency within me that wants to do that, since I'm already saying, okay, Ruka, guide this and all feedback is valid, it tells me, oh, the more I want to reach over and tell him how wrong he is, the more it validates I have work to do on my side of the equation, because I'm not feeling very loving toward Rex right now, which means I'm in error. You know, here's Rex in the car with the great and powerful Dr. Hayes, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, and he's willing to give me negative feedback. I know he's not feeling good about that. So here's Rex trying to be open and honest, and I want to, you know, I have these parts of me that want to say, well, let's attack Rex. Well, then I'm not coming from a space of love. And the core of my work is to understand every time I'm not feeling loving, it's my internal process creating that experience. So if I start with the premise that all feedback is valid, and whenever I'm feeling something less than love, I have created it, or it's the genetic and historic energies from my bloodlines that are getting resonated, that's my work to do. So back to your situation, I would say it's quite likely that both sets of your experience are true, that Michael may have been being triggered by something and that you really don't like it if you think you're being willing and somebody says, take a look at whether there's resistance here. And then just apply all of the tools.
No, that's very, very helpful, Tim. I guess I was thinking of it more black and white, either you're resistant or you're not, but that in that scenario, both could be true, number one, and then secondly, that all feedback is potentially valid or helpful or, you know, something to consider, and that is true as well. So I find that extremely helpful.
Well,
Try
to think of it this way, and I'm sure you have clients in your office on a regular basis, and I do too, where they want to think through that black and white business, and they'll start getting upset because they haven't reached their goal, or because I would point out to them that they said they wanted to go in this direction, and they're going in a different direction, and they'll say with great passion and vehemence, but I do want this to get different. I do want to be better. And I breathe, and I encourage them to breathe and notice attention, and then I say, of course they want to be better, or they wouldn't be paying the money and taking the time out of their day to come into my office. However, that part of them that wants to be better is not the only part of their consciousness. There are lots of different ways to talk about this. There's the internal family systems approach that talks about it in terms of parts. There's coherence therapy that talks about it as positions or motivations or aspects. There are many different ways to talk about it, but they're all describing the same thing. We, as human beings, have created a rather complex set of beliefs about ourselves and worldviews and thought patterns, and we can have many, many different conflicting thought patterns and worldviews, as long as only one of them is conscious at a time. But we also know that what's active in my unconscious is often driving my behavior, even though I'm not aware of it. So I encourage my clients, I encourage me on a daily basis, I would offer for you to consider being results-oriented. And so maybe you don't like the label being resistant, and that has a triggering effect for other negative emotions in you, but be results-oriented. Are you actually in the flow and taking the next step that you say you want to do, or that those people who you trust and respect are guiding you to do? And if you're actually taking that next step, then the results say there's no resistance. But if you're not taking that next step, I feel really willing. I'm thinking, I'm asking Ruka to help me be willing, and yet I'm not taking the next step. So there must be something, maybe I don't want to label it resistance, but something that's blocking my progress. And then that frees me open, or frees me up to start looking at other aspects of myself that may not be so willing. Does that make sense?
No, it makes a lot of sense. And that that simultaneously being, you know, accurate is just helpful in other areas. I think, you know, I'm doing a lot of work to be more fully expressed, being love that I am. And then sometimes when I get feedback and people are seeing it as clearly, and then, you know, I want to trigger my upset. Like, wait, how come you're not looking at me as love? Don't you know that I'm love? And, you know, and then and being more open to seeing, well, maybe somewhere in there I'm still a little rough around the edges, and I could take that feedback as a polishing cloth.
Well, and then just because of the energy you had around it, I would recommend that you do some energy, some work on worksheets or journaling or mind shift or whatever on that word resistant.
No, that's a good suggestion. I hadn't really thought about that. So I
Because you use the phrase something to the effect of, when I get labeled as being resistant, so there's labeling, which might be part of the trigger, and there's resistant, which might be part of the trigger.
Well, I think the trigger was is that in my world, I was actually being willing, that I was even bumping up against it and practicing the tools, and that wasn't seen. And so that's where I equate it to, like, I'm doing all these things to be love, and then if I get feedback that something is other than love, it's like, well, wait a second. So it's being labeled something different than how I'm holding myself, and maybe some of my outward behaviors need to catch up with, you know, this way of being that I'm practicing and embracing and developing and healing.
All right.
And
so,
you know, and then somebody has the content from, you know, last year when I was a raging lunatic, and then that, you know, that that's what we're going to look for, any sign. So it's keeping, you know, like you're saying,
wait,
if I'm getting rough vocal.
Wait a minute.
What? Yes.
Take a breath. You just dumped a big load there. Take a breath. Somehow or another, it makes sense in your head, but you just said a phrase about a year ago that you were a raving lunatic.
No, I'm like
breathe.
Making an example. Like, okay.
I know, but just breathe and understand that's not who you are. It's a label. And allow yourself to feel the gratitude and the appreciation of all the work you've done and all the results you're feeling in so many areas of your life. Because if you weren't doing that, you wouldn't be able to go into the prisons on a regular basis. If you weren't doing that, you wouldn't be willing to go down to Heartland for another intensive and make all of the financial and time constraint arrangements needed. So just inside yourself, give yourself a moment to feel gratitude and the sense of accomplishment for all you've done. And watch what part of you might want to interrupt that moment of gratitude and that energy of gratitude and jump to, yeah, but they don't see it, and yeah, but this person says, and just breathe through that and take a moment to release that and just stay inside yourself. Take a moment to be grateful and do a quick review. My God, woman, you just told us that your 16-year-old daughter went with you to an intensive and actually got something out of it. Breathe into that. You are living and leading by example. Breathe into that. Let yourself feel the gratitude for all the results you're seeing and feeling in your life, because you making a point to pick the tools up and use them. Not perfectly, maybe not even consistently, but enough so it's really making a positive impact on your life. breathe into that and watch any parts of your mind that want to come up and say, but they don't see it, or this person, and just breathe into that. Mentally mark those as worksheets you can do in the future.
I started a connected breath long before. Let me
ask you to just speak up a bit, because I can't hear what you're saying. What happened when you breathed into that?
Well, I was already feeling lots of emotion come up before you even got to the suggestion. Just when you were reviewing my work and. I was breathing through it the whole time.
Okay, and what do you notice? What's coming up? What are you feeling?
Well, there's tears, but it's not sadness. It's relief or gratitude or tears of joy.
Okay, so we know that there's all of those. Some sadness, some gratitude, some joy. And just breathe. And then just notice and have give yourself the time to make some notes about the yeah buts that might come up and say, okay, and I can do some worksheets on that. I can apply the same tools that have served me well for the past year or so and get even more benefit.
Tim, I'm laughing because at the intensive, somebody gave me feedback that I say but a lot, and I said, so it appears that I'm oppositional, and so I know clinically in my mind, and I practice using and I do. Apparently, I use yeah, but twice as much as I use my ands. And so then it became like an invitation that I gave to the group to give me feedback every time they heard me declaring a yeah, but. And, you know, you have a swear jar at home. Like I said, Alyssa, we're going to have a yeah, but jar at home. Every time you hear me say it, then put it in. And so I think it is hilarious and rather ironic that you identified that right now. So thank you for keeping me present to how I do myself.
You're welcome and deserving. And thank you once again for being willing to share some of your process and be a model for the work in progress.
I'm beginning to appreciate more and more the art of vulnerability in terms of healing what would be maybe a default to hide my mistakes or hide my less than perfectness.
Keep the breath moving.
And
most of us who have that pattern from a long-standing history of interaction, either in the bloodline or in our current life, where the people around us who were wounded would look for ways to point out the imperfections in others to make themselves feel better because they weren't able to or they didn't have the willingness to do their own work. So just breathe and know it's a pattern, and any pattern is a habit that can be unlearned, and a new, healthier pattern can be put in its place.
You know, I'm beginning to recognize that power person pattern. and how I've adopted it and the harm it's caused by practicing that over the years, and then seeing the other way and incrementally increasing my ability and, I guess, trust in making myself vulnerable and putting it out there is offering me lots of dividends and opportunities and healing and all that kind of stuff. I can remember in the fall when you and I were hosting more regularly during Rice's travels, and the idea of mistakes came up, and a caller had talked about some of the fears, like, related to being criticized or making mistakes and such, and you gave a wonderful explanation about how you don't even have mistakes in your, you know, content, rather learning opportunities, and there's no shame or blame or guilt, and I remember, like, listening to you, like, with my mouth hanging open, like, what is he even talking about? Like, I could barely wrap my mind around that concept about that, like, what? Like, you're bad if you make a mistake kind of thing, and like, just having something, like, you know, try to crack it with a hammer, and it's a hammer just bouncing off, like, and so it's cool to see that, you know, here it's, like, 6 months later, and not only do I get it, but that I'm starting to utilize it and practice it and forgive it.
And yeah, and I would ask you to consider and just take a breath. It's a beautiful thing you just did, and I frequently encourage people to do that in sessions. And Michael talks about it when he says rate your disturbance level from 0 to 10 when you're doing a worksheet. And if you don't, your ego will trick you into thinking every time you get upset about an issue, oh, I haven't made any progress on this. But look at what you just did and take another breath and think about what's really important to you right now. The difference that you feel when you realize how much more open you are to concepts and how much more flexible you are personally and emotionally from now compared to the way you were a year ago, or the label someone would put on your behavior as being resistant, which is more important?
How I feel, my result.
Good. Just breathe into that. And sitting in that often gives me the ability to sit in a car with someone like Rex, dumping his stuff on me, because I know it was all his stuff. I didn't have any. I'm pretty much perfect already. And breathe into that and say, oh, well, maybe I'm not perfect, and maybe all feedback is valid, and maybe I need to look at my side of the equation here. Because after all, how did I get to be the great and powerful Dr. Hayes? Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. I got there because I've been doing work. I do worksheets. I run support groups. I have stepped into that vulnerability more and more that you were talking about, that Way of Mastery talks so beautifully about. My real strength comes from my absolute vulnerability. My real strength comes from realizing of myself I do nothing, but the life force, the creator, does it through me. And if I step into that and I realize, wow, the more I do that kind of work, the better results I get, the less I'm invested in what somebody else labels it. And then I'm able to say thank you to people like Rex or to Michael when they call me on something. And really mean it, not just say, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to say thanks for the feedback, but actually say thank you for taking the risk. So, excellent work. Thank you for doing that quick review. And actually taking a look at how things were a year ago for you and how they are now, that's just beautiful.
No, I just had round two of breathing, because it's more about, you know, recognizing that I'm blessed. I hear this, people say this often, but just that I have this opportunity to change in a powerful way, in more than, you know, anything, graduate school, therapy, courses, seminars, spiritual endeavors, all of that pale in comparison to what I've learned and practiced over the last year and using these tools. So,
well, and I would also encourage you to review things like earlier you were saying, looking back at all the damage it's caused and shift that word a little bit. I mean, if everything is energy, and if all energy is just energy, it's not good or bad, it has certain effects, then it's probably more useful not to think in terms of the damage it caused, but of how it felt when I was off the mark and how it feels when I move my energy back to being more on the mark. I really appreciate the work Julie Haverstick did to bring that piece to the work when she was working with kids. Instead of saying, this is bad, this is good, this is right, this is wrong, have kids think in terms of what energy is on the mark and is going to take you to a feeling you like and have good results, and which is off the mark. And it's all just energy, so if I readjust my energy, if I readjust my response when somebody labels me resistant, it opens me to move my energy in a different way and use it in a way that gets results I like better. And if I like those results better, that's what counts, not the labels.
No. Right, becoming my own authority, and they like to use inner sense. Perfect.
All right, so are you feeling complete with this discussion? Should we see if there's a hand up or anything in the chat room we should address?
Well, in the chat room, it's Pete and I and a guest, and it's been negligent. Oh, yeah, our young man is on the line. I knew he wanted to comment. Hi, Rex. Rex?
Oop, I apologize. Hi, Michelle, Dr. Tim, I had you on mute. Great job on the processing and all the things, you know, kudos. Really good job. I had, as I was listening to the whole process, it was really powerful. One of the things that I found intriguing, and I found this in my work as well, Tim, and you said it in a different way, but it was kind of similar. When you released and forgave the reality through your breath and your willingness, and you moved apparently out of the idea that you had to figure it out, and you moved into the experience of experiencing it and released it, what started coming up in your content, or what started your mind started delivering to your evidential computer started delivering to you, was how awesome you are and how much great work you've done. And gave you examples. So this is happening, and then my, you know, Tim said your daughter going, and then that kind of set in motion that whole energy. And that's how the evidential mind works. It's just a recording device. It gives us information, and depending on what I have active in my conscious mind is what will determine what it pulls up. And I think that's a really good way of being identifying if I'm in resistance. And anytime I have a yeah but coming up or I'm trying to figure out what the issue is, I've probably got a subtle or some form of resistance. And resistance is okay. It's just another way of seeing one of my signals that show I have more work to do on something. And just a beautiful job of you just opening and being vulnerable and receptive to what Tim was guiding you with and move out of that process of having, quote, having to figure it out to just experiencing your pain, your sadness, your joy, and then what your mind started doing for you to support you in your joy. And I think that's its job that we've given it a different purpose, a different function, but I think that's its primary job is to be a light for us. And it might help you with seeing if you do have resistance coming up. And for me, I have resistance. I was in the car with Tim. And I just got such a chuckle. I remember our conversation vividly. That's really cute. I love Tim's, you know, version of it, and it's awesome. And every moment is an opportunity to learn and grow. And just beautiful feedback back and forth and just a great process. But that was the one thing I thought would really be valuable to, I mean, we have beautiful carbon-based minds. They're beautiful. They're not bad. They're not wrong. They're beautiful. And if we use it in a way that is constructive and healthy, then it will be a support for us and a light. And that's what I saw you doing when you shifted and you let go of that attachment to figuring it out.
No, that's some awesome feedback, Rex, and something as an outside observer, you know, that you could witness that maybe is only going to be apparent when I go back and listen to the show again. And so I appreciate you, your remarks and your insights. And I was hoping that you'd call in, especially given, you know, the topic. And I think the reason that I was able to take Tim's feedback and move through that process with ease is because I've had a lot of Rexology over the last year.
I don't know what that is, but it's helping me.
Tim,
awesome.
Tim, got your. I don't even want to say. Yeah, but that's how I've coined it, Rexology. And so it's prepared me and guided me and supported me to be able to take the risk to open up like that, because you're so safe, and so then I can, you know, transfer that to new people.
Well, if there's anything I've done or shown you about you that supports you being more of who you really are, and that is this amazing, beautiful human being, then I feel I have been successful. It's truly appreciated that it benefits you, and I think that is a really testament to you doing your work. Of course, I do mine, and I take responsibility for what I see and what I experience in the moment, just as Tim was describing he does, and you do that. And as a community, we're doing it together, and it's just so powerful. And I think I heard you say something that sounded a little bit like I perceive it as a compliment, and I accept that. But really, the compliment is about you, Michelle, because you're the one that is experiencing the results of your work. And that's what I heard, the biggest thing that I want to put the emphasis back to again. It's not about Tim and his input and feedback. It's not about Rex and his input and feedback, or Michael or Jeannie or anybody in the community, because everybody has something to offer as an opinion. But it's really about what you do with it. It's what I do with it when Tim gives me valuable feedback, whether I like it or not. And if I can move into the space of willingness and openness and breathe and be willing to see what's there for me, I grow and heal. So kudos to you, and kudos to you, Tim. And gosh, we're all doing a great job.
Thanks. Dr. Tim, we've got a minute 30 seconds left, so maybe you could wrap up here and we'll say good weekend.
All right. There's a 90-second mark in my ear. Thanks for the input, Rex, and I would just add to what you say to say the energy of resistance, if I learn to identify it, is an alarm system just like the energy of anger or fear. So have a blessed weekend, and if you're so inclined, pick up the tools and use them, and join us again on Monday. It'll be Parent-Teacher Talk Monday, and give the world, as well as yourself, the best gift you can. Have the best year yet of your eternal life.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness.
Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.